Welcome, Zale. How are we doing this morning? Good to see you guys. Welcome to Zale Church. We're glad you're with us today. Got a few announcements, and I'll jump into the message. First, I want to talk about our Legacy Tournament. Hopefully, you're signed up for it, our Legacy Golf Tournament in Gala. That's coming up next week. A week from tomorrow, I should say. And there's something amazing about this tournament that's happened that has not happened before. We have sold out of golf spots. So we have 34 teams registered. I just want to know, Anthony, why can't we have more teams, bro? Next year, we're going to work on getting both courses together. Right? Did he respond to that? Is that a possibility? You're Anthony. You can pull anything off. Got to thank Anthony, who's a faithful member of Zale, who hooked us up with this tournament at Horseshoe Bay. But we have 34 golf teams, and that's a lot of golfers, and more teams wanted to sign up. Listen, usually the whole procrastination thing works for us. Like, you can sign up the day before. Not this time, okay? Hopefully that teaches you to sign up before the week of, which is what a lot of people like to do. So, but you can still sign up for the gala. We have over 300 people already signed up for this and invite you to be a part of it. We have 10 live auction packages that the Cowboy Auctioneers will be auctioning off. We have guns, we have hunts, we have dogs, we have all sorts of things. So vacation packages, so make sure you're there for that. It's going to be a great time. We have a lot of stuff planned. We're very excited about it. You can sign up with Haley at the golf table over there. We have childcare available to you as well. I love this. Okay, I learned this as I was preaching last service. If your kid is potty trained, then you can drop your kid off at Rad Sports for a fee there, and they'll watch. It's just a Zale thing. But if your kid is not potty trained, you can drop them off here at Zale, because we don't care if your kid pees everywhere, evidently. So bring your undisciplined peeing child to Zale, and we are going to watch after them for the same cost, too. It's a deal, right? So help us pay for those babysitters. But that's it's just going to be such a great time. Hopefully you're signed up. The golf is maxed out. You can still sign up for sponsorships, and you can still sign up for the dinner, but you want to be in attendance for this. It's so much fun. We're going to have a great time together, all right? One other thing I want to tell you about, something we've never done before, because of Pastor, I'm going to say Pastor, I don't know why, but maybe it's in a prophetic, but my friend Randy here with Altrua Health Share and Altrua Ministry, we have on December 14th, we have Jordan Feliz going to lead worship for us here at Zale. He's a recording artist, and we've never, obviously we look a lot alike, but we've never done anything like this, and so because of Randy bringing him in for something else, he had him come, and he's going to lead worship here on December 14th, so you won't want to miss that. And I do also want to give Randy a shout-out. Altrua is our title sponsor for our event. Altrua, so thank you, Randy. It's going to be a great time. We got the golf tournament, the Jordan Feliz. What else you want to give Zale? What else? Come on, bring it on, you know? Like, just keep the generosity coming. Let me jump into this right here. Today we conclude a three-week series that we have been in entitled Gratitude. Are you grateful today, church? That's not convincing enough, all right? I'll do my best to change your gratitude spirit today. Because gratitude is not just a feeling. Maybe some of you don't feel grateful today. You don't feel the gratitude spirit. You're a little upset. It's Thanksgiving week. You got a lot on your mind. But listen, gratitude is not just a feeling, it's a perspective, it's a posture, it's a discipline that should shape absolutely everything that we do. You see, biblically, it's not an option. Gratitude is just, it's not an option, it's not a feeling, it's not a suggestion. It's not just for positive people. Where are my positive people in the room? I'm a positive guy, okay? And you negative people, you drive me insane, all right? I like the positive Pauls and the positive Paulies, you know? You negative Nancy Karens, I got a problem with you. But listen, gratitude is just not for us positive people, all right? It's not. It's a discipline. It's for all of us. It's actually God's will for your life. Regardless of your season, regardless of how you're feeling, regardless of the people that are involved in your life, gratitude is God's will for your life. It's in our theme verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the theme verse for the series, Give Thanks. Here it is, in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's God's will for you. that you would give thanks in all circumstances. And I love that it doesn't say for all circumstances, because we know you're not going to thank God for everything you're going through. But you still got to thank God in the circumstance. Because gratitude isn't about pretending everything is fine. It's fine. Everything's fine. How many times have you done that? Everything is just peachy. And it's not. It's not about pretending everything is fine. It's about seeing God's goodness even when everything isn't fine. What you choose to see will shape how you choose to live. And when you choose gratitude, you choose joy. When you choose gratitude, you choose peace. When you choose gratitude, you choose the perspective of heaven. So here's the truth of the series. A grateful heart leads to a joyful life. And we know we all want a joyful life. How you get a joyful life is having a heart of gratitude. And that's what I want for you. It's having this heart of gratitude that leads to a joyful life. Joy that lasts. Joy that's real. Joy that isn't stolen by your circumstances. Joy that isn't stolen by the opinions of others. Joy that isn't stolen by the emotions that you're going through or the people involved in your life. So in this series, we've been talking about having a heart of gratitude, having this change of perspective, and how to see God's goodness in every season of our life. Let me say this. There's no better time to talk about this than right now. We're stepping into Thanksgiving week. Are you ready, church? Are you ready? It's a time where everyone is just, they're happy. It's gratitude. Cowboys are playing. They're not going to win, but the Cowboys are playing. It's gratitude season, right? Posting about gratitude. You're putting up signs of gratitude. You're feeling grateful. But you and I both know that gratitude is more than a holiday theme. It's more than turkey, a table, Cowboys on TV. It's more than that. As followers of Jesus, gratitude is a lifestyle, not a long weekend. This season doesn't just remind us to be grateful. It reminds us to model gratitude in everything that we do, to our kids, to our families, to our coworkers, to our neighbors, to our friends. In a world full of complaining, and a world full of comparing, and a world full of criticizing, this season calls us back to what Scripture talks about, to give thanks in all circumstances. Thanksgiving shouldn't be something we celebrate once a year. It should be something that lives in the hearts of believers all year long. So it's a perfect time to recalibrate our hearts and to say this to God: God, teach me to live a grateful life, not just when things are good, but in all things because you are good. Because gratitude doesn't start when your situation changes, which is what we do. Life gets a little better. Oh, now I can become grateful. Now I can show gratitude. That's not how it works. Gratitude starts when your perspective shifts. God, you are good no matter what. So in week one, Pastor Mark kicked us off the series. Talked about the deeper the root, the sweeter the fruit. Last week, I talked about our burdens being blessings. We talked about taking on the perspective of Jesus when it comes to gratitude. We watched Jesus ride into Jerusalem on a lowly, boring, borrowed donkey. And we learned what it felt like to be the burden that might actually carry in the blessing of God to mankind. And then we look at Jesus, that Jesus took on the burden of the cross. And he bared that burden, and he went to the cross. Why? To receive the blessing of you, relationship with you. See, burdens often seem heavy. But God wants to use our burdens for something holy. Our burdens might actually lead to the blessings that God has for our life. And today, as we kind of conclude this series, I want to talk about the effects of gratitude. Today, we move from a donkey to the dining table, to the communion table, from the road to into Jerusalem to the table in the upper room. Same city, same week, different moment. It's interesting, we're talking about gratitude, and I've been camping these 2 weeks out on the Holy Week, the time that Jesus offered his life, and he died on a cross and was resurrected for you and I. It's in the middle of betrayal, in the middle of pressure, in the middle of the countdown to the cross. Jesus does something so wild in that moment. He's having a meal and he looks at his disciples and he gives thanks. His hardest week, the hardest week of Jesus' life, he gives thanks. When I remember all that Jesus has done for me, Gratitude doesn't just live in my heart. It changes how I see things. It changes how I view life, where I'm going. It changes how I give and how I worship. You see, gratitude should change everything for you. So if you're taking message notes, the title of this morning's message is When Gratitude Takes Over. And that's the prayer I'm praying over you, church, that gratitude would take over your life. Let me pray for you as we jump into this word. God, I thank you for our church. Thank you for what you have for us today, God. Thank you for every person here, Lord. God, we pray that you would just shift our perspective today when gratitude takes over our lives. We love you. It's in Jesus' name. And if you're grateful, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So now we move to the communion table, the final meal. This is the last meal of Jesus before the cross, a moment loaded with tension, betrayal, prophecy, purpose. Right in the middle of it, Jesus just stops and he gives thanks. I want to read you the story. It's Matthew 26, we'll start in verse 17. This is the story. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat this Passover meal?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and I'll tell him, the teacher says, my appointed time is near, and I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house." So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was chilling, reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." "It ain't me, it's them," Jesus replied. "The one who has dipped his hand into this queso bowl will betray me." I'm just ad living there. "The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. Woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he said it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine until now, until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had, I love this evidence, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. It's this amazing story of this meal, this Passover meal, this communion table meal that Jesus shows who's going to betray him, and then he gives thanks, and then they sing a worship song. You know, gratitude is not just about having good manners. Gratitude is not just about having Southern hospitality. In the kingdom, gratitude is a spiritual weapon. It changes things. Jesus is less than 24 hours from the cross. He's staring betrayal in the face, abandonment, torture, and death. Jesus knows what awaits him, and this man is the one who's going to get him into that situation. He's staring it in the face. And in that moment, he doesn't ridicule and lecture Judas. He doesn't tell the disciples how terrible of a person Judas is. He doesn't go on a rant. He gives thanks. He gives thanks. So I was going to ask you as I start this message today, and hopefully this will just rest on you here. What does gratitude do in a soul that's fully surrendered to God? If you would say, "Hey, I'm fully surrendered to God's plan and purpose for my life," what does gratitude do to someone like that? And that's the question I hope to answer in this message. So I want to look at four effects when gratitude gets inside your spirit. Here's the first one. Four effects when gratitude gets inside your spirit. I'm hoping gratitude gets in you today. Here's what it's going to do. Gratitude is going to correct your vision. It's the first thing it's going to do. It's going to correct your vision. If we step into this Matthew 26 story, the disciples walk into Passover day completely unprepared. Now this Passover meal was something that they would have always participated in. It's like a yearly meal. It would be as if they're at the Thanksgiving table. It's the most important meal of the entire year. And these 12 grown adults look at Jesus and say, "What do you want to do tonight, Jesus? Where are we eating tonight? What are we eating?" It's like Thanksgiving afternoon. and you don't have prepared anything. You haven't bought a turkey, the oven's not on, and you're Googling where to have dinner for Thanksgiving. You're completely unprepared. This is the disciples before Jesus. They're stressed out, they're behind, they don't have a plan, they can't see a way forward. But Jesus isn't panicking, he's preparing. While they had no plan, Jesus had already made a plan. Like, he knew that they were not going to make a plan. So he made a plan already. Maybe wives are like that. We ain't know, you ain't going to do nothing. I already got a plan, right? He already had a man. He already had a house. He already had a room. He already had a table waiting on them. So here's something that you and I can pull from that story. Just because you don't prepare doesn't mean that God's not prepared. I mean, some of you are wrestling with bills. You're wrestling with a diagnosis. You're wrestling with a kid who's drifting away from the Lord. You're wrestling with a strained relationship. And you're looking at your circumstances, the life that you have been given, and you see chaos. And when life feels chaotic, our vision becomes cloudy. We start seeing everything through a different lens. We see our life through a lens of fear. We see our life through a lens of frustration. We see our life through the lens of panic. But gratitude does something different. It does something powerful. Because gratitude, it doesn't always change your situation. Gratitude changes how you see your situation. And that's pretty powerful. It doesn't ignore the reality you face. It reframes the reality that you face. It lifts up our eyes off of the problem and onto God, who has already taken care of our problem. And too many of us, our eyes are down. It's focused on the problems. It's focused on the circumstances because you're seeing through a different lens. Gratitude gets your eyes off of the problem, lifts it up to Jesus, who's going to solve the problem. Here's what I've learned. We don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. Gratitude cleans the lens. When I am ungrateful, everything seems like a problem. Everything seems to be going wrong. But when I am grateful, even problems begin to look like possibilities. Some of us don't need new circumstances, and I know it's what you're praying for. You need a new perspective. You need a perspective shift today. Gratitude corrects your vision. Sometimes it feels like Thanksgiving morning when nothing is prepared. You don't have a plan, and then you get a text from your mom. Baby, I got it taken care of. Just come over. Thank God for mamas, right? If your mama's with you, just give her a little pat right now. Thank God for our mamas. Thank God for our mamas. It's that feeling when panic begins to lift, when your shoulders begin to drop, when peace walks into the room. Okay, someone's got this. That's what gratitude does. Gratitude goes, oh yeah, God's got this. God's got this. He's already gone ahead of me. He's prepared a way. He's figured it out. He's got it. This is why Jesus, this is so powerful, y'all. That's why Jesus can sit at the communion table, the Passover meal, and look his betrayer in the face and go, thank you, God. Because he can see what his disciples can't see, that when you live grateful, things change. Like, you actually begin to see as God sees. You start to see that God's preparing a way. You can see the sovereignty of God. You can see the timing of God. You can see the fingerprints of God all over a situation. So here's your challenge for the week. Instead of asking, God, why is this happening to me? Why me? You must hate me. I'm sorry I did that in college. Are you paying me back? That's right, college students, just, yeah, we're going to get you out of that sin. Don't you worry. Why is this happening to me, God? Change your perspective. Say, God, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in my life. Show me what you're doing in this. I want to see your fingerprints on it. I want to see your plan on it. I'm going through it. I might as well get something out of it, God, so show me what you're doing in this. And watch what happens. Watch how your eyes begin to clear up. Watch how your spirit begins to be reset. Watch how worry begins to fall away. Because gratitude may not change your situation, but it will absolutely change your vision and how you see your situation. And once gratitude corrects your vision, something amazing happens. When you start seeing God clearly, you start to see your future differently. Because gratitude doesn't change how I see my situation. Gratitude changes how I see my story. And that leads us to the second thing that God wants to get inside of your spirit through gratitude. Not only is he going to correct your vision, here's the second point. He's going to rewrite your future through gratitude. When Jesus sits down at the table at Matthew 26, the atmosphere is tense. Are y'all ready for your Thanksgiving table? How's that atmosphere? I like to make things awkward, you know, just sit down at the table in front of my liberal, non-believing sister-in-laws and go, so Trump, let's talk about communism, you know, let's just, Jesus. You know, I throw those words out always. I'm practicing. That meal could be tense, right? It might be tense for you. You may not even be looking forward to it. Jesus is hours before the cross. And he's surrounded by these friends, these disciples who've been with him for 3 years who love him. And then one guy who's about to betray him. And right in the middle of this dinner, as Jesus and Judas were dipping their chips into some queso, the same time, I'm just adding, he says, you're going to betray me. You're going to betray me. I think the disciples are like, oh, God, thank you, it's not me. Thank you, it's not me. You know, it's like, I thought it might be me. It's an uncomfortable moment. Like, Judas is going to betray you, Jesus. We've been following you for 3 years, and you're going to betray Jesus? And this is what wrecks me about this story. Jesus knows what is coming over the next 24 hours. He knows that Judas will betray him. He knows he'll be arrested. He knew that he was going to get beaten. And then he knew that he'd be hung on a cross to die. And still, Jesus, in that moment after he says, you're going to betray me, says, now let's give thanks to God. That's heavy. Jesus understands something that most of us never learn. And that is this, the betrayal, it might shape my past, but gratitude shapes my future. People don't get to write the ending that God has for me. God writes my ending. But I love the story because if Jesus would have lived an ungrateful life, Judas would have owned the moment. It would have been about Judas. Betrayal would have dictated the atmosphere. The hurt would have hijacked the story. But grateful hearts don't get stuck in what happened. They lean into what God is about to do. Jesus didn't give betrayal. Jesus didn't give Judas that moment. Gratitude breaks the power of what has hurt you. If something's hurt you today, you want to break that power of your life, be grateful. Ungrateful hearts, they replay the past and replay it over and over again. Grateful hearts rebuild the future. Let's look to see what God is doing. If you hold on to gratitude, betrayal cannot hold on to you, church. Gratitude, it doesn't erase the past. It refuses to let the past control your future. And some of you need to move on. Because when you're grateful, every wound seems permanent. Every disappointment feels defining. Every betrayal seems final. But gratitude steps in and says, my future is not determined by what they did to me. It is determined, get this, by what Jesus is doing in me. Jesus wants to do something inside of you. But some of us won't let Jesus do what he wants to do inside of us because we're too busy worrying about our past and letting that define our future. Gratitude breaks the agreement you have made with your past, that you have made with hurt. Gratitude silences the lie that your story is over and your life is over. Gratitude keeps you from building a house in a season where God wants to build something better. You ever been hurt before? I think everybody in this room probably has been hurt before. But have you been hurt so deeply that it changed how you see everything? It changes how you view people. It changes how you view business. It changes how you view the world. Somebody who you trusted has flipped on you. A person that you loved betrayed you. Man, I've lived that. I have been through that. And here's what I learned. When gratitude leaves, bitterness fills the vacancy. Bitterness goes, oh, I'll step right into that spot. But when gratitude comes back, it returns, hope walks back into the room. And suddenly what felt like a dead end becomes a doorway where God is coming back into your life. Here's the truth. You don't have to be the best today. I love this. You don't have to be the best today. You just have to get better today. And grateful people always get better. Ungrateful people love to live in the past where they're not getting better. They're not improving. Grateful people always get better. Gratitude, it changes your, it makes you future-minded. Jesus was looking into the future. Jesus gives thanks before the cross. He gives thanks before the beating. He gives thanks before the pain. Why? Because he sees beyond the betrayal. Who wants to live in the betrayal? He sees beyond the betrayal. He sees the resurrection. He sees the redemption. He sees the church. He sees you. And thank God that he did not allow betrayal to capture that moment. He stepped past betrayal, looked in the future, and he saw us. That's why I say this. Gratitude is prophetic. It thanks God for the future before the future arrives. Thank you, God, for what is coming. And I'd encourage you for your life. This is powerful, church. You got to catch this. If you want healing for your marriage, start thanking God today for what he's going to do. You want healing in your body? Start thanking God for a total and complete healing today. You want your child to come home to Jesus? Start thanking God that he's working even though you can't see it. Gratitude turns your prayers into faith declarations. It turns your pain into purpose. It turns your future from being blurry into focused. Gratitude is how you tell God, God, I trust you and I trust your ending to the story more than I trust my own. Gratitude gives God control. So I ask you, where do you need to stop rehearsing your past and start releasing your future? What are you playing over and over and over again? That hurt, that betrayal, where God's going, let it go. Look forward. Who do you need to forgive today? Not because they deserve it. I'm telling you, they don't deserve it. But because you're too grateful to stay stuck. Where is God inviting you today to say, Lord, thank you that my story is not finished yet? Because gratitude doesn't help you survive your past. It helps you step boldly into the future that God has for you. So once again, gratitude begins to correct your vision. It rewrites your future, but there's something else it does. It opens our hands, and that's the third thing that gratitude will do to get inside of you. It opens your hands. When Jesus, he lifted up the bread, and he lifted up the cup and the Last Supper, he wasn't just saying, hey guys, let's eat. And this is bread, this is wine. I think you guys know that. Let's have a meal together. This was a prophetic meal. I gotta tell you, this is such a cool story. So for 1,500 years, God's people sat at the Passover table. And they, at the Passover table, remembered that God delivered the Israelites from slavery, delivered them out of the hand of Pharaoh in Egypt. So when they would sit at the Passover meal once a year, they were remembering what God did. I love traditions. We do not do that at Thanksgiving. I don't think anybody is sitting at the Thanksgiving table remembering, you know, what it means and what it symbolizes. And let's tell the story of the pilgrims, you know, like, is anybody doing that? I doubt it, right? Like, but the Israelites, they would, God, you freed us from captivity. Thank you, God. They would remember. They would eat lamb. They would break bread. They would share a cup of wine. And God said, sit at this table and remember who set you free. It's the hand of God that set you free. The Passover meal was always a meal of gratitude. About to have Thanksgiving meal, it's a meal of gratitude. The Passover meal is a meal of gratitude. A reminder that a spotless lamb died so judgment would pass over your home. That's what they would do on Passover. But now, in Matthew 26, Jesus steps up and he does something so crazy, so different. He takes the same bread and he takes the same wine and he says, we're going to give thanks. And he says, this is my body, which will be broken for you. And this is my blood that will be shed for you. Now, that's not what we've been celebrating the past 1,500 years. It's a moment that Jesus is declaring, for centuries you remembered the lamb in Egypt, but now we're looking forward to the lamb that will be slain for you. You remember how God freed the Israelites from Pharaoh? Now I'm about to free you from sin. He's saying, you're not just remembering what God did, you're looking to the future and remembering what Jesus is about to do. The meal that once pointed back to Egypt now points forward to the cross. And like the disciples there, as that reality is setting in, that Jesus is the Passover lamb. That his body is going to be broken for us. His blood is going to be poured out for us. This changes everything. We can't be the same anymore. You can't live closed fist anymore because of Jesus. Can't do it. Gratitude, it opens our hearts. It opens our hands. Gratitude turns receivers into givers. Ungrateful hearts hoard because they don't have this revelation. Grateful hearts give. Gratitude turns what can I keep into what can I give. You simply cannot be grateful and selfish at the same time. Try it. Can't do it. You can't be selfish and grateful at the same time. One will push the other out. And more times than not, your selfishness will push out gratitude. That's why Proverbs says this, Proverbs 11:24, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. And we say, thank God, praise God, but the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Ungrateful people live small lives, small thinking, small dreams, small faith. But grateful people, their world expands, their influence grows, their joy multiplies. Because generosity is just gratitude with shoes on. It's doing something. And some of us want God to expand our life, saying, God, give me more. I want more money. I want more blessings. I want another purse. I want another watch. I want another boat. This is like Travis, give me more. And we go around like this, give me more, God. We go around with closed fists, saying, God, give me more. Give me more. Give me more. We want joy. We want peace, we want opportunity, we want blessing, influence, but we're gripping fear with both hands. Gratitude is what pries open your hands. Gratitude makes room for God to move. Gratitude creates margin for God to multiply. Because you don't become generous when you get more. You become generous when you become grateful. And if God can get generosity through you, he will get blessing to you. That's how he works. So ask God, where am I living a clenched fist life? Because he's nudging you today. Say, Lord, I'm grateful. I'm opening my hands. I'm grateful so I give. I'm grateful so I'll serve. I'm grateful so I'll forgive. I'm grateful so I'll just show up. You never lose out when you give out of gratitude, but you might lose out when you try to keep out of fear. Gratitude is a gateway to generosity, and generosity is a great gateway into living a larger life. When gratitude opens our hands, it doesn't just change what you're willing to give. It changes what heaven is going to release over your life. Which is the fourth point. We'll wrap it up with this. Gratitude, it attracts my breakthrough. It corrects my vision. It rewrites my future. It opens my hands, but man, it releases heaven over my life. Jesus, he takes the bread and the cup and he gives thanks and he breaks it moment changed everything. They weren't just having a Thanksgiving meal, a Passover meal. Like heaven walked into the room. Gratitude doesn't just open your eyes. It doesn't just rewrite your future. It doesn't just open your hands. Gratitude opens heaven. It's what we want. Heaven, come. The moment Jesus gives thanks. Remember, Jesus was fully man as well as he was fully God. Do you think he wanted to die on a cross and be beat and tortured and hung on a tree? He didn't want that. But when he gave thanks, he was saying, God, I'm aligning my will with yours. I don't want this. But you want it, so I'm going to do it. Gratitude removes selfishness and invites heaven to come. Gratitude is worship. Worship is surrender, and surrender is what God breathes on. Scripture says in Psalm 22 that God inhabits the praises of his people. We saw the third song we sang this morning was actually called Inhabit. Inhabit our praise. That's what God wants. He wants to inhabit the praises of his people. Why? Because he doesn't inhabit the complaints of his people. He doesn't inhabit the selfishness of his people. He doesn't inhabit the fear of his people. He doesn't inhabit the entitlement of his people. He inhabits the praises. Because when you praise, you're grateful. You can't praise and not be grateful. So when God sees you worship, he goes, I'm going to move on that. That's why in verse 30, he said, when they had sung a hymn, I love that. They went out to the Mount of Olives. This wasn't a song. This was a declaration. This was the worst earthly night of Jesus' life. And he ends it by giving thanks and then singing a worship song unto God. He's hours away from a trail. He's hours away from his arrest. He's hours away from torture. He's hours away from his death on the cross. And his final act before the storm hits is to sing a song. Why? Because he knows something that most of us never learn. Gratitude gets God involved. Gratitude moves the heart of heaven. Gratitude invites God into the situation. So you look at your situation, you look at your circumstance, and you say, God, thank you. Heaven says, I'm moving in. You look at your situation, say, God, I trust you in this. Heaven says, I'm working on it. You look at your situation, you say, God, you're still good. Heaven says, I'm coming. You want God closer to your life? Get grateful. I don't know what else to say. You want God to be activated in your life? Become grateful. You want clarity, peace, wisdom, direction for your life? Get grateful. Negativity doesn't look good on you. Become grateful. Because grateful people become unforgettable people. And grateful people get God's attention. Because they give God the glory. It's all about Jesus. You know, gratitude is heaven's favorite language. I think it's our favorite language as well. I love grateful people. I love positive people. When my kid comes to me and says, thank you, Daddy, I say, what else do you want me to buy you? My heart is softened. Generosity is arising within me. I desire to bless them, all because they said thank you. They didn't earn it, but gratitude moved me. How much more do you think that's true with your Heavenly Father? Every thank you from your lips is an invitation for heaven to move into your life. Every moment of gratitude towards God is a magnet for the presence of God. Every praise is a promise that God is near. Jesus shows us gratitude on the worst earthly day of his life because he wants to show us what to do on the worst day of our lives. You're grateful. When life gets heavy, we're grateful and we worship. When the pressure rises up, we praise up. When our heart hurts, we're grateful. Because gratitude is how we say, God, you're still worthy. You're still king. You're still faithful. You're still working. I trust you. And then heaven rushes towards that kind of faith. That's why the table matters so much. Because gratitude, it's not something we feel. It's something we practice just like Jesus did. The bread, the cup, the table. It's a reminder that Jesus didn't only save us. He freed us. He covered us. He redeemed us. He teaches us how to live. And he still meets with us today. If you trace this whole passage, you zoom out on the Last Supper, you listen to the heart of Jesus in the middle of his hardest night, you see it so clearly that gratitude corrects vision. Gratitude rewrites the future. Gratitude opens hands and gratitude opens heaven. This isn't about good manners or being positive or being nice. This is spiritual formation. This is discipleship. This is the way of Jesus. And the place that Jesus chooses to bring all of this to and teaches us is at the table of gratitude, the table of thanksgiving, the table of worship. Which means how I end this message is not with another point, but with a posture. In a moment, we're going to receive communion together. I don't know what kind of season you're in today. Maybe you're in a season where your vision seems a little blurry. You don't know what the future holds. It feels weighty. Your hands feel tight. God feels so far away. But you need to hear me. Gratitude is not something you wait for. It's something you choose today. We don't wait for life to become perfect. We don't wait for every prayer to be answered. We don't wait for the pain to pass. We don't wait for the miracle to show up. Oh, now I'll be grateful. Gratitude is not the response to a blessing. Gratitude is the blessing. Gratitude is the breakthrough. Gratitude is the doorway that heaven walks into. Jesus gives thanks before the cross, and then he sings a hymn before the suffering. Why? Because gratitude is how you say, Father, I trust you. Even here, even now, even with what I'm going through, even with what the doctors are saying, even with what people are telling me, I trust you anyways. Some of you, this is for you today. God's inviting you into gratitude. Back into worship. Back into trust. Back into seeing him clearly. Living the life that he died to give you. Maybe you came in today carrying a weight. You're going to leave carrying some gratitude. Maybe you came in here frustrated. You're going to leave carrying some faith today. Maybe you came in tired. You're going to come in refreshed. You're going to leave refreshed. Because at the end of the day, gratitude, it's not about what you have. It's about who you are. I'm going to speak it over you, church. You're grateful people. You have a heart of gratitude. It's who you are. If you have Jesus, man, you have enough to be grateful for the rest of eternity. You may be looking at your life and go, I don't know, look at my life. I am. I see Jesus. That's enough to be grateful for the rest of your life. So this is why we come to the table. This is more than remembrance. I don't know how you were raised. If you were raised in a church receiving communion, I was. It just became a habit. It became a ritual. But this isn't about remembering what Christ did for you. I think that's too simple. When we come to the communion table, yes, we remember what Jesus did for us, how he died for us. But more than that, we say, God, we choose to be grateful. No matter what we're staring at, no matter what situation we're facing today, you looked your betrayer in the face and you give God thanks and then you sang a song. The more I'm doing this, pastoring and walking with Jesus, the more I see the importance of this right here. Because life, it's busy, stressful, taken a toll on you. You make enemies during the day. You harbor up unforgiveness. You're frustrated. You're stressed out. And then you come to the communion table where everything changes. Heaven is here. Jesus is here. And you come in and you receive Jesus. And I don't know how this works, but something powerful takes place when you receive communion. You're not just saying, oh, I remember Jesus, thanks. You know, like, appreciate you, bro. No, it's this holy moment where heaven is touching earth, where you take the body of Jesus and you eat upon it. And the vernacular in scripture is you can't be closer to Jesus than you are right here at this table. It's as if you are at the feet of Jesus watching him be crucified on the cross and you're eating of his flesh. It's weird. But that's how close you are to Jesus. And then you see the blood dripping down his body and you lick it. That's how in this moment of the communion table, you are drinking in Jesus. You're taking him in. And when you have Jesus on the inside of you, you don't have enemies. You don't get to harbor up unforgiveness anymore and bitterness and offense because Jesus is inside of you. You don't have enemies anymore because Jesus is inside of you. So when we receive communion here in a moment, that's what this is about. That's what I'm inviting you into. We come in and we receive Jesus. And he takes residence on the inside of us and we remind ourselves that he is the Lord of our lives and we are not. So I forgive those who need forgiveness. I let go of the hurt and the pain because I'm open-fisted. It's a powerful moment. It's when heaven touches earth. I'm so convicted by this. I'm going to say this because I am being filmed in second service and I won't be able to back out of this. I'm so convicted of this. I want to do this every week because I think there's something powerful taking place. So would you stand? I'm going to invite you as the ushers come forward to receive the communion elements here. I think there might be some buckets under you guys in the aisles if ushers aren't coming. We're doing it different today. Let's go and take a communion element here. And I just want you to think of the power of this moment. Jesus looking his betrayer in the face, his problems in the face, his stresses in the face. And he says this. He took the bread and he broke it. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples. And he said, take, eat, this is my body. You're never closer, more closer to Jesus than you are in this moment right here. So why don't we let's receive the bread, the body of Jesus. And then he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, gave thanks twice. He gave it to them saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Won't you drink? I'm going to pray for you and I have the ushers. Y'all can pass those buckets back through. I'm going to pray for you so you can get rid of those right there. But Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you are in this moment. I thank you that your presence is here. I thank you that you are changing today hearts that are callous, that are broken. You're changing them into grateful hearts. I pray that we can receive that today, that we would allow that to change us from the inside out. We want to be grateful. I want to be grateful for all that you've done. In every season, in every situation, we give thanks. And I want to close by praying for those who have never made a decision for Jesus. Never prayed a prayer to invite Jesus to come into their life. And if you're not a believer today, that communion table does nothing for you. It's an invitation. It's an invitation to receive Jesus into you today. If you've never declared that Jesus is the Lord of your life, if you've never given him control of your life, I want to lead you in a prayer right where you're at. Pray this to God. If that's you, say, Jesus, today I receive you. I receive your faith. I receive your life. And I pledge my allegiance to you. I will follow you from this day forward. Come into my life and change me from the inside out. Make me new. Make me whole. And I worship you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen.